Christian, Christian, Christian Benteke. Christian, Christian, Christian Benteke. Christian, 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 Christian Benteke. It's the Day Trippers. Two out of two down under. The Reds are unstoppable. You never walk alone. It's a Champions League semi-final proportions. New signings all off the floors. Even Danny Ings got a hat-trick today, helping smash the back axle off the mighty Felde United. Confirmation of the Benteke signing. Can anyone possibly rule out the Liverpool title challenge? We'll be discussing this and more. I'm Andy Young, your host for One Night Only. Joining me in the Liverpool title challenge train are Phil Casey, Neil Gray, Pod Debutant, James O'Regan, and from the grave, again, a very special guest, Trev Downey. All aboard. Choo-choo! Go, yeah?
Yep.
Right, no better place to start than Benteke. So we want just a little general comment from everyone. Trev, I'm going to start with you.
Of course, yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
Just general response.
Just your general response. Just from their own perspective. Yeah. Forget about what everyone else has been saying. Just what? How do you feel?
Empty your mind, Trev. I feel absolutely positive as be cheeses about this. You have to remember, I nearly died, right?
Yeah.
So to come into this evening, I just said on the Periscope, I'm absolutely buzzing about him. I think he could be fucking wonderful, right? Yeah. And I don't give a shit. It's that time of the season when you can say that. If you can't say it now, you're dead inside, right? So I'm buzzing. Absolutely. I think he could be wonderful. I think he's exactly what we want in certain situations. So, happy out.
Game ball. Right. Well, that's very positive, Trev, in fairness. And yeah. Phil. Get off your phone.
That's my comment.
Just a general, as I said, saying to Trev, just
listen,
clear it out.
Do you know what
else has been saying? I came
to the acceptance that we were going to sign Benteke a good few weeks ago, because it was always on the case. It was down to one. All this bullshit about other players now. We all knew it was just Benteke, and we're trying to drive the price down, which we managed to not do.
And, really well.
Yeah. But look, at the end of the day, if he scores 15 to 17 goals for us next season, that's a win, right? Yeah. And that's a million per goal for the amount of money we have to pay from this summer.
Yeah.
I can live with that. A million per goal, that gets you into the Champions League. You get all that money back. And it's you get a bonus as well. You get a bonus of 4 or 5 million.
Sounds like some poxy economics to me.
I know. Yeah. You said say something positive.
Sorry.
I'm fucking grasping here.
Don't continue. You can't say anything.
The most positive thing I can say is, if we can turn the Yeke Yeke song into some version of Christian Benteke.
Imagine if we could
give us
that.
A barman. Give us a barman.
I can't dance, no, Christian Benteke.
Teke, Christian Benteke. All right. Neil, can you do any better than that?
No.
General comment there. I'm at Teke. What do you reckon?
I'm with Trev. I'm thrilled.
Thrilled?
Yeah, I think it's great. Like, and it's the deal has been done for a long time, like Phil was saying. We all knew what was going to happen. I'm just delighted with the squad as a whole. And like we're all saying, we all need a backup up front. We might have to get Origi, Ings and Benteke in. And we still have Daniel Sturridge as well, who's one of the best strikers in the league. I think it's all great.
Yeah, happy days.
Unbridled happiness.
You can tell that by his trousers.
Trev, have you ever seen bridled happiness?
I have.
Yeah, what was that like?
That's you.
What?
What was that like?
It was quite restraining. There was a harness. And, sorry.
James, this transfer has been a long time. James, this transfer has been a long time
absolutely,
coming.
Absolutely, it has.
You've got a lot to think about. So,
no pressure. No, I was kind of the same with most of the other lads. It's like I accepted it a long time ago that it was happening. Yeah. At first, I was on the whole, you know, is this the new Andy Carroll coming in? But then, it's
fucking
like,
hell, James.
Hey, what can I say? I've come around. I've done, you know, listened to things people have said, and I've watched him a bit. And you know, he's better than anything we had last season. So that's an improvement for me, because if our top scorer was what, 7 goals last season, he's a better record than any of them. So I'm buzzing for the new season with the rest of the signings we've signed. Because I think possibly with Coutinho and Firmino and behind him, he will just score goals for fun. And, you know, it's not really about beating the top four. It's the rest of the league. So if we can just go and batter the rest of the league, and he's a battering ram, so just use him that way.
Yeah, well, look, I'm positive as well. I'm delighted. If you can get 15, 16 goals, that would have got us Champions League last year.
Yeah.
So the chat was, well, known before we were playing Villa every time last year, Benteke is going to destroy us again.
Yeah.
And now he's playing for us. That bleeding,
I mean, everyone's saying that. Yeah. Every time Benteke or, you know, Villa were coming up against a team,
Benteke is going to destroy us, and he did invariably every time.
But I think it has more to do with the weaknesses of our defenders against the type of striker that he is.
Don't be nitpicking. No, look,
he's given most defensive hassle. Defences.
He scored a screamer against United last season as well, which is always a good thing.
I was trying to find the positives in it, when I was coming to the acceptance that we were going to sign him, and I was saying to myself, right, when Villa played well, what did it look like? This is my point, right? So this is when Villa played well and Benteke was scoring goals, what did that look like? Because everyone's going on about the headed goals that he scored, which, fine, we crossed the ball, may as well have someone that can head the ball. That's a bonus, right? Because we didn't have it last year.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I think the Bass Tuned Red had that stat that the previous year Daniel Sturridge had the second highest amount of headed goals in the league, which is, like, I wasn't expecting that. So,
random,
you know,
stat alert, random stat alert.
Well, in terms of what was there, the article may not have even existed.
Yeah.
I could have dreamt the thing, because we've been having weird dreams lately. And it was mainly, but my thinking on it, like, what was good, when they counterattacked very quickly, he was able to stay up with the move as it went on. And, like, the one thing that we're able to do very well is to counterattack fairly quickly. When we went on that run and that sort of winning spree where we thought maybe we can get back into the top four or whatever, we went back to that idea of fast counter-attacking football.
Mm.
And, you know, if he can fit in with that, well, then he's going to do well.
Saying last season as well, and when we are counter-attacking, there's nobody in the bleeding box. What's the story? And he's the man that's going to be there if he can keep up with it. Like,
yeah.
That was a big problem last year, wasn't it?
Very good point. Central area was empty when we were counter-attacking.
Yeah.
My only thing is that, and it's similar to James' point about the Andy Carroll thing, an awful lot of the time I've seen him drift to the back post. I hate centre forwards who drift to the back post as a rule. I prefer to see them always. Sturridge always attacks the near post and looks to get something that can go back across the goal.
Right. So that's one of the concerns, like, you know, because a lot of people are worried about him not fitting into our style of play. Now, you have to mention the headers. That's after kind of give me a bit of relief, because we did score headers with Sturridge. So one of the concerns was the headers. The other thing is not attacking the front post. So are you worried, like, for someone who's buzzing, Trev, are you worried about that?
Well, I'm going to be straight up and say I didn't notice that as a trait in him. What I did notice is as a trait in our other strikers from last year. Yeah, like Ricky wasn't at the back post. Mario was always behind two or three defenders waiting for the ball or hanging around the place that he thought was cool. And, you know, the other lad never got a game. And even when he did, Barini, he's not that kind of make the near post.
Yeah, good movements. That's what we're always
movement,
yeah.
So look, if Phil's noticed this, I'll take him at his word. I haven't noticed that as a trade as a player. What I have noticed is match of the day. That's when I see Christian Benteke. That's when I've seen him. Like, I don't watch Villa, so when I've seen of him in that, he looks dynamic, he looks strong, and he looks to have every kind of goal in him. I'm happy with that.
James Neely, do you also have any concerns?
Maybe the injury. If something, you know, we already have one injury-prone striker, so. But it sounds like, I've never heard us taking 2 days to do a medical. It's always been 1 day, so I think we've really crossed.
It's because he's so big.
I think we've been really careful with this one
time. That's an injury. The injury was in the Achilles.
Because everyone's like, you know, as we all know, everyone on Twitter last night when they announced Benteke, they've been doing the medical for 2 days. So
if they've had a good study.
Yeah,
Achilles.
Let's hope they haven't. But that would be I think the way he's going to play, that might be a concern. But I think
it'd be great if it turned out that the delay in the medical was because somebody rang in sick and on the medical team. Sorry, lads. Hard weekend. I'm not coming in.
Well, we flew the team doctor back from Australia to do the
exactly. So somebody on the
well, sick. Actually, Andy, on that injury thing, like, you know, John Barnes spoke to us on this pod, and he told us about how when he ruptured his Achilles, he had no sprint left in him, so he had to revert to playing centre mid. And that's the reason why he played centre mid. It's the only reason he moved in from the wing. However, Christian Benteke registered some of his fastest speeds on the pitch last season after his injury.
So he's fully recovered as well.
So my point is, he's fully recovered.
Yeah, that was the.
And it's possible to do that. I've done it myself.
If I was trying to find one concern, right, and I'm nitpicking here, I would say the only thing I might be concerned about is all of a sudden, listen, he's done his time in Belgium, then he's at Villa, and like you said, we only see him a match today. All of a sudden, the spotlight is on him big time now, massive transfer.
Well, the transfer fee, are we worried about that then?
I'm not concerned about the transfer fee. I think it might be a bit of a weight on his shoulders. I mean, the transfer fee is irrelevant now because he's at Liverpool, so what he's done in the past doesn't matter shit. You know what I mean? The money is spent. Well, half it's spent. But whether he can handle the massive spotlight
factor,
that's on him.
Yeah, the whole Liverpool factor, because we saw, like, Lallana, who was supposed to be a big team player last season, and he just wilted completely at the club last season. Like, I think the whole pressure of playing for Liverpool, same with Lambert, because he just went playing for my hometown club, and
he was a beetroot and all that.
Disaster, basically. So, I hope it, like, because he's not the only big signing we've brought in, because we've got Firmino come in as well, so I think hopefully the burden won't be just on him, and because Firmino's the one for me who excites me. I can't wait to see that boy in a red shirt. I just think he's going to be outstanding.
We've forgotten a lot about Sturridge. We kind of stopped thinking about Sturridge and talking about Sturridge.
I think it's good to stop talking about him.
You know what's going to,
because he broke her heart last year.
I mean, it's nice
to get over a broken heart, and then if all of a sudden,
have you thought about
again,
that?
Yeah, we have thought about Sturridge. There wasn't a week that went past that we didn't go on about.
No,
geez, get Sturridge back. What can Sturridge? I mean, he did come back. Then we're, he's not the same Sturridge. He's not the. Yeah, but the pressure is again, hugely off.
See, I'll be honest with you, right? That will happen if the signings that we made as forwards, as if Ings and Benteke don't score goals, and say Origi doesn't score goals. If your centre forwards aren't scoring goals, all of a sudden we'll be back to, well, when is Sturridge back?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what we going back to the point we made in Periscope about how long does Brendan have, right? If we start relatively well or just good, and Benteke scores 4 or 5 goals in the first 6 or 7 games, right? Yeah. Straight away, that pressure for even Sturridge coming back won't be there, because we'll be saying, well, this fella is keeping up his goal scoring record, and we're happy with that.
What kind of effects that going to have on Sturridge, Trev?
I think it might actually work for him. I think, look, there's a lot of talk after Suarez went about him being the main man, right? And we're all excited because he can wear that, and he's got it on his shoulders, and he's got that personality. But then his body goes and lets him down, right?
Yeah.
So I think he'll absolutely benefit from having Christian Benteke playing well in the team, because clearly if Daniel Sturridge is fit, he will play too. It's not going to be an either or, in my opinion.
Depending
if Daniel Sturridge is fit, Daniel Sturridge will play.
It depends entirely on how Benteke does. It might be back to the situation.
You reckon he goes with Diamond Neil or something like that?
Yeah, I don't like to get into all that Diamond bullshit, you know what I mean? No, honestly, I don't, because you get caught up in fighting.
But it serves up.
No, but I understand what you're saying, Andy. I completely agree with you. Yeah, like, Rodgers, again, might be forced into having to play the two. And listen, if he's forced into having to play the two, it means the two of them are scoring loads of goals and we're winning loads of games, so it's happy days.
Yeah, he was forced into playing Sturridge and Suarez together, and we went on our best run.
It's a great complaint to have. I think for a bunch of fans, we get very frustrated because we don't know who is going to drop out. We all have our favourites, but some of the midfield has to lose out. Is that Milner? Is it Hendo? Is it Chan? You know, is it Coutinho, Firmino?
Hendo, it looks like we're going to run them into the ground playing every minute of every game.
But that's all gravy. Those kind of decisions, that's wonderful.
Gravy,
like, what I'm saying is if Benteke is playing well and Sturridge is fit, Sturridge will play also. It's that simple. It's like when Suarez came back into the team, he found space for the two of them because they're too good to leave out, right? Yeah. So if you have a firing Christian Benteke and you've got a fit Daniel Sturridge, they both play, for fuck's sake. Yeah, they both play.
Like, if you have Benteke firing and then you have, with arguably the best finisher in the Premiership, as well. I mean, that can only be good news, that's dream time. I know we're all kind of getting a little bit excited. Maybe saying Benteke is going to be brilliant, but if it works, it doesn't have to be brilliant.
He just has to be good.
No. Exactly.
This is my point. He doesn't have to be
just
brilliant.
Just be decent.
I'm saying to you, 15 to 17 goals,
which isn't brilliant,
and a fit Sturridge who gets 20 goals straight away. You have what you need from two main.
Danny Ings already has a hat trick today, so we're flying.
And you know, he also scored 3 free kicks in training.
Yes, he did. I did see them
in the warm up.
Did you see the footage of Firmino in training?
Yep.
On his own.
Yeah.
Now, if he can do that on his own,
imagine what he can do with the players.
What was he doing on his own, Andy? I missed it.
They have these boards.
Yeah.
In the training ground, it says concentrate, and there's other ones like, you're awesome.
Character.
Playing some lovely one-twos off. I don't know if you've seen it. One-twos off the boards, top corner.
No bother.
Hey, can anyone
ask? No goalkeeper would have saved it.
Didn't even need bother putting a goalkeeper in goal.
The Firmino thing has passed us by a bit, Andy, has it?
Yeah, well, for me. I don't know anything about
for
it.
For me, it has.
I'm most excited about, out of all the signs, I'm most excited about Benteke. Because I don't know enough about Firmino for me to be honestly standing up going, yes, we fucking signed.
I didn't think we were still in the league for getting players like Firmino anymore. I was like, we're shopping lower down than Firmino.
It's the hype that has me excited more than anything.
I mean, you know a lot about him, Phil, do you?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, Phil is in there.
He's got two sisters and he likes dogs, but he doesn't like touching them, right, Colo?
No, Colo really won't like him.
Him and Colo have the dogs in the same kennels because they aren't mad about touching them.
Let me ask you this, Phil. My question is twofold.
Once is not a fourfold of all, right? Or a monkey, or whatever the fuck they call them.
Look, you've watched them. You watched them on his league, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But have you watched them? Like, specifically, has he been a player that's taken your fancy and you've looked at him with the eyes and you're thinking he could be a player for us?
Yeah, straight up, Andy, because I mentioned his name not this summer, last summer when we were looking for players instead of Lallana. And, you know, when you look at certain players in the Bundesliga, you look at Hoffenheim and they're not a great side. And they were one of the biggest payers as well in the Bundesliga. So they're sort of that bit of anomaly, a bit like a QPR or something like that, you know, that's spending mad money but never seem to get any results out of the money that's there. So when you say to me, I'm saying, that fella can go to a better level. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's already playing at the level he needs to be playing in a top side. And I was amazed. I suppose it's the money which prevented any of, say, the bigger German teams come in, like Schalke or Dortmund or Gladbach or even Bayern to have a look at them. But then you're looking at those teams and you're saying, they've already got quality players in those positions where he'd fill in. So his natural move was either to Spain, to Italy or England in terms of where he was going to next. So for us getting him, I think it's great, man. Yeah. Like I thought, with Champions League last year, we would have gone after him and you would have gotten him. And then when we didn't have Champions League this year, I'm saying, well, a Champions League club is going to, somebody even like Arsenal or something. When you look at it in terms of his style of player, he will be an Arsenal. Arsenal will be written all over him in terms of the way he plays.
What's his level, Phil?
I don't know, Neil. He's 24?
Yeah.
Look, he's a 24-year-old player who's only starting to approach the peak of his career.
Our age bracket this year.
Yeah.
And it's a step up from our.
Is he at the level Coutinho's at, for example?
He's above Coutinho's level.
Yeah.
If you're talking about influence.
And he was our player of the year, if you're talking about Coutinho's influence
is brilliant. But the influence on the team he had at Hoffenheim, right? He's either assisting or he was scoring goals. Right?
He likes attack.
And the one thing that Coutinho hasn't brought to his game yet is regular goals.
Yeah.
Now, I'd say to you, Firmino is the type of player who'll be able to take a set piece. He's also able to play those through balls that Coutinho has, but seems to be a better finisher than Coutinho in terms of what I've seen him play. Right now,
well, someone taking set pieces would be a good start.
And I think we've signed players that can potentially
Benteke takes for his. Milner.
Well, once Jordan Henderson's nowhere near a penalty ever.
I don't think he will be. I mean, I think Milner's probably going to be a penalty taker. But then you've got
Benteke was the
Firmino who can.
Yeah.
Or Mario might come on for the penalties.
But
your question, yes. Can he go? Yeah. I think he can be a very special player for us. But like all transfers.
What I'm saying is, you see a lot of people on Twitter saying they've been watching Firmino for a couple of seasons. Okay. They've been made aware of him. They've watched games. And it's a difference between that. And actually watching a player, like I personally feel you need to watch a player for 10 games and with the mindset that he's our player.
Hoffenheim, be honest with you, Hoffenheim were on ESPN and BT Sport loads over the last couple of years because they tended to play in the Friday evening games or the Sunday sort of morning games that were always on the television. So if you wanted to look at them, you could easily do it.
Him and Draxler were the two that people were raving about in that league.
Draxler's
got the Juve, is that right?
No.
Just talk of it.
Okay, I mean, like, he's one of the guys that everyone wanted to pick up and we've got him. That's fucking aces.
Yeah.
And we've got him alongside Andy, your favourite word, Ben Teckers. I heard you were going to block people on Twitter if they use that word. You're not happy
it's
with
it. Well, I don't like the word techers.
So Ben Teckers.
I just don't like it.
And then you were trying to justify Ben Heskey afterwards. God bless you.
Well, I can justify Ben Heskey.
Because he scored
17 goals in his fourth season. So if we get the same, stop fucking hosting. Andy's hosting.
I'm trying to do segues for you for later.
I don't want you to do segues. He's hosting.
What about
stop picking on him?
Oh, another one I say.
I'm just trying to help him. Am I helping you?
Stop jumping in. He's hosting.
Another one I say, which fucking I thought was a bit of cracker. Was you know, if Benteke starts being a bit of fun around the place.
Oh yeah.
Bance Teke.
Oh my shit.
No.
Fucking give me Ben Teckers over that.
Bant Teckers.
Oh,
Bant Teckers having a cheeky Nando's.
Jesus. No.
Oh, we roll with that.
Oh, yeah. That's just everything.
We'll move on.
Yeah.
So, with all these new players coming in, it's going to serve up problems for Brendan. Well, a good problem. So, I think if people start questioning Brendan this year, we're going to see a different media story. What do you reckon?
From Brendan?
Yeah. Already we've seen a little bit of belligerence.
His belligerence seemed to be at the foreign journals as opposed to the English journals. I want to see him be belligerent to the English journals that he's really tight with.
You want to see him get cheeky at, say, post-match crowd. It's mostly Echo journals or whatever.
And stuff like that. Now, of course, he won't because he knows what side his bread is buttered on.
Yeah.
You know, he can be as cheeky as he fucking wants to the Australian journals. He's not going to see them again.
Yeah.
No, but I think that there is, I sense a difference. Trev, do you sense it like a bit of a difference? I know he's away and he can say what he wants him, but I mean, Liverpool have been on tour before with Brendan Rodgers and he's being nicey-nice. Now, I'm not saying he's being an absolute asshole.
No.
Because he gave his lovely story about taking the Brisbane's Roar goalkeeper
for Christmas dinner.
That was a lovely
story, yeah.
But that was back when Brendan was a lovely person.
Yeah. So why ask me?
Do you think we might see a different side to Brendan in the media? Do you think he's being asked?
I think we already have. I'd row in behind what you're saying. It's not about him being cheeky or cutting the nose off people specifically. He had a level of impatience which would suggest to me a fella who's just, you know, let me get on with this fucking job. No nonsense kind of thing. Yeah. The way that he dealt with the continual questions about Benteke before Benteke hadn't officially signed, I thought that was indicative of a guy who's just saying, you know what, just fucking leave it.
And actually, it was just not just Benteke, it was anything about transfers.
Yes.
It was like, I'm only talking about the players who are here, I'm not commenting on anyone who's, you know, he does seem to have changed slightly, but I suppose it'll be, you know, until we see his first post-match conference.
Yeah.
See how he talks to Jeff Shreves after the first game.
Yeah. I think the whole Brendan Rodgers and the media thing, it's just a whole LFC media machine getting ground out. I think what you see every week in, week out, is that's all pre-constructed. It's all engineered. I think what we see on the TV is nothing what the type of person he really is. I mean, if we are seeing the real person, their whole PR isn't working. I mean, it's just what we've seen so far to this point in the season is a whole pre-constructed pre-season media fiasco or media bonanza to sell Liverpool around the world. So why would he say anything controversial when he's trying to sell Liverpool all the way around the world? It just wouldn't make financial sense, would it? So it's the real Rodgers isn't going to reveal himself until the season gets underway. And if we ever even do see the real man, I don't think so.
We don't really know.
You said it before, Andy. When you first started talking, you said, I'm not listening to him anymore because that's just nonsense.
Yeah, all you can't stand hearing him talk about formations.
Because I think it is all just pre-constructed.
Yeah, but Neil, it's a fair enough supposition to say that, look, he's had his wings clipped after a fashion by having fellas taken away from him, if you want to go that theory. Or he's made a very harsh decision, if you want to go the other way, to get rid of mates. Right, one way or the other, he is in some way compromised and a different guy going into this season. He can't be the guy he was before.
You say he's compromised. I don't know whether he's I think
it depends which way you look at it.
It depends on your point of view exactly. What I think is that he buys so much into the whole PR end of things. He's willing to row in whatever the hierarchy come up with. He's willing to row in with
because
he can see the advantages in it. And I don't think. He is fairly far up his own arse, right? That's, I agree with that. But at the same time, he buys into the whole PR so much that I think
it doesn't really bother him.
He doesn't see it as wings being clipped. He sees it as this is the PR direction we're going.
I think they probably said to him, listen, step back, take the foot a bit off the throttle in terms of throwing mad things out in the press conferences. And he's probably he's trying to readjust what that sounds like. If you know what I mean.
Keep it to one anecdote about goalkeepers.
Yeah, you let him host.
He knows that he's...
Don't be you prick.
He knows that he's brought the iron himself. You know, especially comments like Spurs spend 100 million.
Yeah.
So straight away, you'd imagine that sort of stuff's going to get knocked in the head. So what I'd like to see him do is if he's asked about why isn't he playing a certain player or why does he need a defensive coach or whatever, he just tells them where to go politely. You know, professionally.
Yeah.
Not really belligerent Kenny style, but I'd like to see him just...
Yeah.
That's what you want to see.
Yeah. Stop the throwing your players under the bus in the media type scenario like last season. We don't need that again. Like, you know, his whole thing where if a player wasn't doing what he wanted or he wasn't happy with him, just, you know, Balotelli being the perfect example.
I quite like Rodgers to see. I tend to make excuses for him sometimes, but we do forget that he's only not even 40 yet. Or is he 40? He's, like, he's a young manager. He's going to make mistakes, particularly when there's a camera in his face. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he's like, he hasn't got 30, 40 years under his belt. He's only learning.
Another individual who likes the media spotlight is Mario Balotelli.
Yeah.
Now, what you reckon about his tweet to Sterling and the
There's nothing in it, Andy. It's just a bloke tweeting his mate saying best of luck. Nothing wrong with that. You don't mind yourself.
Where are you going with that, Neil?
No, I'm not going anywhere. Okay. I'm just going to leave.
Do you see much in that three?
I like the way people ran with it and tried to make a bit of mischief. That's great crack at this time of the year, isn't it? That's what you need, isn't
it? I mean, like, for me, I'm not a fan of Balotelli. Like, I don't make too many secrets about him.
Serious, man. Serious. We hadn't picked up on it.
I thought that was fine. I mean, we see football as fans from a totally different perspective than players. Yeah. They're pals, you know. Even you see them in a tunnel nowadays, they're all hugging and kissing each other. It's not like the Keane and Vieira days where they were shouting at each other and getting narky. So I see football, and what do you reckon, Phil?
Again, music's great this summer, and if you just listen to music, you can miss most of this shit. Like, I swear to God, I've never seen people just waiting to fucking go mental at something because my theory on it is, we've done our signings really quick. Everyone's been giving out. We never fucking do well in the transfer, and we always miss out. So we haven't missed out on anyone that we went for this year.
Yeah.
Right? So we can't give out about that.
We're down to giving out about tweets.
Yeah.
And I mean, like.
And Pedro.
I looked down at the replies to that tweet, you know. And I was fairly disgusted with Liverpool fans as a whole. There was a lot of fuck you, Balotelli, and, you know, nasty stuff. Like, now, I mean.
And you're not a fan of Balotelli. So
I'm
it's not
a fan
like
of Balotelli.
But I think he's still a Liverpool player. We haven't sold him.
But have a bit of empathy. His father did pass away. You know, I know that mightn't be a whole lot relevant when it comes to footballers in the spotlight. But Jesus Christ. Now, I recognise some of the... Like, these weren't just assholes. These were heavy tweeters. Like, you know, these were people who were tweeting all the time. They should know better.
The only thing somebody said, why didn't you text them? Right? Why do you have to put it out there in social media?
But that's what is social media. Like, I mean, fucking hell, yeah. You can.
Do you know what I mean? If it wasn't on Twitter, he probably would have done an Instagram photograph of himself in his Man City jersey, wishing him all the best or something.
Like, on a hoverboard
with Enrique just drifting around in the background.
Colo with a puppy under his head.
It's far from the worst thing he's done. He doesn't deserve the abuse. No player deserves the abuse over only a tweet and a mate just saying best of luck.
Well, if it was Lallana now, I might have a different opinion, but hell no.
Here we fucking go.
It's got a whole season of this now, do you know that?
I know, yeah.
I have to find some, come on.
The new market.
Come on.
we'll talk about the games, right? So we look at a couple of games there between Liverpool and Brisbane, Roar and Adelaide.
United.
Make your opinion.
Slashers. So, Phil, you've seen the games.
I did, unfortunately.
Give us something really insightful.
How was that?
tell us about the games.
Oh, bollocks! I forgot to hit record. Sharknado 3 was on at 10 o'clock tonight. Oh, shit, man.
That pretty much says it all.
Right, that's pod over, lads.
Yeah. It's on, yeah.
So I think it's on tomorrow night. I'll catch it tomorrow. No, the games themselves. Look, I said it last week when I was watching the Pepsi Cola All-Stars in Thailand, right? It's more... Are we seeing the development of a shape? Is there something solid underpinning what's going on when we're watching these matches? Or is it just a load of players throwing at it and trying out different formations to see, does that work? Going back to the old, how much shit are we throwing at the fan to see how much of it sticks? But these games,
it's the wall. Yeah.
Genuinely, some of it, there seems to be a definite plan about how we're going to set up and what way we're going to play. And it's variations of 4-3-3. So it's either a diamond midfield, with two up front, or we're playing a more natural 4-3-3 where it's three in the middle and two sort of wide forwards and a central centre forward.
Like
that
a
was
diamond.
There.
Yeah.
So we're not seeing a 4-2-3-1.
No. We're seeing one sort of at the base, which goes back to the point around that's where we're told Emre Can is going to play when the new season kicks off with Milner and
Henderson. Or is he?
I don't think Can, Firmino, Coutinho will start against Stoke.
No, I don't.
Because
think so.
They haven't had a full pre-season. Yeah. I think they'll be on the bench, which will be saying something for the fact that we can.
We don't think
it'll explode if that happens.
Listen,
come here. I agree with you. What you're saying, you're dead right. They haven't had a full pre-season.
Whereas Benteke, the difference with Benteke, let's say, right, he's already been away in the Aston Villa pre-season. He's already got a couple of friendly games under his belt, so he's not missing. He hasn't missed the same stuff as the other lads have.
I think it was someone on one of the other pods was saying that basically what Brendan is doing with this pre-season is because one, it's shorter than it ever preseason we've ever been on. He's got the first section of games, and he's getting a squad together for that. Mm. And then I think he's going to, so that's the players he has now, and then he's going to fit in the others as they come along. So he just wants to get through that first, say, six game segment. And that's what he's doing with players. That's why Henderson and Milner are getting so much time at the moment, because they want to get the partnership.
There's probably a bit in it, but there is the point that we're looking at a definitive shape appear and two formations, two go-to formations. We've been saying this for ages. There's an A plan and a B plan here, and it's a variation on one formation, and it was his preferred formation all along. So, you know, we're actually, going back to your point from earlier, there is no excuses. Mm. He's now implementing his plan and his vision of a setup and a team that he's been talking about for 3 years. And we're in year four now. So he has no excuses at the end of the season. So I'm looking at him saying, right, we now know that Henderson and Milner are going to play either on the sort of flanks of the three in midfield. You're going to have somebody sitting at the base. And then it's either going to be a number 10 with two forwards, or it's going to be two more attacking sort of forwards with a central forward that's there. And if you look at the players we signed, it fits that system as well.
There's a
coherent, cogent plan around this, which
has been done. I mean, it was a huge complaint last year we had, because it wasn't Brendan Rodgers that was managing the team at the start. He was afraid of his life, he was fearful, and so now he might as well go out swinging, because we know this is his chance.
It's a good analogy, that, go out swinging and the other.
I like that. Ask him about the games. Like, the opposition isn't great, okay? But we are starting to see stuff like, you know, in terms of the centre forwards, how they're playing, or sort of how we're building our approach play that's there. Yeah. The link ups between the likes of Cloyne and Ibe, you're starting to see how that works. Mm. You're starting to see on the other side, if it's Gomez and whoever else is playing down that left hand side. So things like that are really good to see, Quill, because going back to it, all this is just, I don't want to know how good, like, I'm hoping that this is all building to something with the Stoke game. So that's really it, you know what I mean? And there seems to be something there.
But there is also the thing, Phil, like, pre-season is such a
bag of shit.
A bag of shit, it really is. Really, and if you think about it, last week, we seemed to peak with the 4-0 Dortmund victory. And everyone was so excited. Oh, pre-season, we've peaked just at the right time. It was bullshit.
Yeah.
It was
so bullshit. Do you think that pre-season's a load of bollocks?
I got more crack out of watching the goals going in on Twitter today in that training match where the boys played in the training kit and Danny Ings kept scoring goals for the crack. That to me is far more fun than watching. Now, I appreciate what Phil's saying. There may be some development of patterns. In fact, if there's not, then Rodgers being remiss in his duties completely. Yeah. But let's face it,
do you not feel like you'd like to be winning your games in pre-season? You would hate to think that a team in an Australian league is going to make the defence look very vulnerable. And they haven't really. We can see the one goal.
The one goal against Brisbane was probably, you're looking at it saying, now we're looking at fucking the same problems we had last year, because the goal came from just the midfield being completely absent. Mm. Right, later the ball came in.
Felt that.
It was actually Lucas's fault. I don't know.
Controversial.
They'd gone missing, right? So you had just, they played it inside and your man was able to pick the ball up, cut inside 25 yards and then smack a shot, and he wasn't challenged before he got the shot away. So, you know, I got your point about, you know, this is what you want to see, and you don't want to get hammered in pre-season, whatever, right? But we don't seem to want to test ourselves defensively. And when I say that, I think because we were so poor defensively coming towards the back end of the season, the last thing we want to be doing is shipping 2 and 3 goals in pre-season. There's probably a logic in playing shit teams to get the confidence back up in the defenders that they can keep clean sheets and keep building on that. So you can understand why we're not playing great opposition.
Yeah, we're not really going to see a test near Larry like Helsinki and then Swindon.
Absolutely not. No. Listen, it's pretty, and I'm flogging a dead horse, isn't it? It's pre-season, it's all about fitness. And I think, like, and there's, like, we don't know what's going on. We're really only shooting in the dark here, aren't we? I mean, he could be trying out 10 different tactical, maybe not tactical formations, but when we're not in possession, I want you here, I want you there. And the opposition is so weak, we're not really thinking about them. Mm. We're just purely working on our positional thing, and the opposition are weak, they're not really going to damage us too much.
Yeah.
So to read too much in the pre-season is a bit silly.
And that's it, is it? Those two games? That's it? Swindon and Helsinki?
And then tomorrow as well.
We're playing the Coca-Cola All-Stars tomorrow.
James, so six games, isn't it? Pre-season slots.
One fella who seems to have played his way into Brendan Rodgers' plans and definitely won't be going out on loan is Gomez. What have you made of the hype, I suppose?
Yeah, well, that's you know, he's what, an 18-year-old kid we've signed?
He's 20.
Is he 20?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he's that makes all the difference.
He's one of those young Adam Lallana players.
it, look, it seems like he's a very versatile player. So was a little bit worried when I started seeing him playing left back and wondering what the hell's going on with Moreno. But apparently he had an injury. Yeah. So if, you know, he's looking at him because he is versatile and we need backup because Enrique, as we know, is no left back or a football player per se. Instagram account management, that's about his forte, so he's best left of that. So, yeah, it's great. We've signed him on for very little money, so it looks like we've actually done some scouting for once as opposed to just watching the match of the day. So.
That's a good show, actually. Well, that's a good show.
This stuff only comes out, I mean, you see, fans are going fucking mad about him.
I'd seen a few.
He's got fairly excited, but like a lot of fans have got kind of really away over this. You know, we're playing poor enough opposition, and they've seemed to have really fallen in love with the player after two friendlies. But since then, I start doing a little bit of reading up, and he is well respected, you know, throughout, you know, the youth system in England.
And he also had options, I think, apart from us.
Everyone
spoke at length about how he wanted to work with a coach like Rodgers. So look, this is all good stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, you know, again, the one thing about Gomez that does stand out, he looks competent. Now, and it might sound
he looks composed.
It might sound ridiculous, but
from what I've read about him, he seems mature for a 20-year-old as well. He seems to know what he's doing.
I'd be straight with you if somebody said because. I don't even know if it is Joe Gomez. It could be anybody, right? Mm-hmm. Because like we're just taking it on face value that that's him.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if somebody logic as well
done. Could be fucking. He could be Colt Savers.
That's like, one for the oldies there.
If I hadn't seen pictures of him and say Cloyne, and somebody told me that Gomez was Cloyne and Cloyne was Gomez, that'd make more sense to me because I'm looking at Cloyne and he hasn't blown me away in pre-season. He is very Glenn Johnson so far, which had me.
I'll take it. Which, easy.
No, oh, come on!
I seen him the wrong side of players a good few times in that last game. I was there going, but the only thing is he has pace, which we know that Glenson hadn't anymore, right? So he's able to recover himself in the way when Johnson's first signed for us. His recovery pace is what used to get him out of scrapes that was there. So that's where I'm saying to myself, right, we can deal with that, right? But like again, I think of the two fullbacks so far in between Gomez and Cloyne, I think Gomez looks the more accomplished player of the two of them. Which is saying something, given you know the money spent.
I can actually see Wisdom going out on loan and Gomez staying.
Oh, you can see.
Yeah,
Wisdom.
No, it looks well, like Brendan said that. So yeah.
He has, hasn't he, more or less.
Yeah,
no, we know Brendan. Yeah, speaks the truth. So.
When I see Gomez. I mean, the first thing that springs to mind is I've only seen bits and pieces. I mean, Jock's really composed and in possession. And that's always the way. That's where you want to start with any footballer, isn't it? So when the ball's at your feet, you're happy enough.
I suppose the difference between Cloyne. Cloyne's making a big step up here. Like you know, if this is his chance. Whereas Gomez probably Gomez
at worst I'm going to go out on loan at Christmas.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
You know, so I mean he's gifted with this chance now, and he's probably saying fuck this, like you know.
There's no pressure on him. All these things come back, especially young players breaking through. There's very little real pressure on them to come through.
Sorry, going slightly on a tangent here. Pressure. Can we stop with this? Ibe is the next Sterling and a great hope for the club. Jesus, the kid is, you know, only barely in the door. Yeah. Like, seriously, can we give that a rest now?
They're totally unfair comparisons because the two players aren't even similar. Yeah.
Sorry, Phil.
You know what I mean?
My hobby horse for the night is had to get
everyone's after. I think Ibe is the new Sterling.
It's a new Mark Walters.
It is quite unfair on Ibe. I mean, why should Ibe have to play in Raheem Sterling's shadow?
Why is it unfair on him? He's playing for Liverpool, getting loads of money. Get over and deal with it.
I want Ibe not to be the next Raheem Sterling. I want Ibe to be the next Ibe.
Cliche LM.
No, genuinely. It's too easy to make the comparison because he's a young player coming through in a similar position.
Well, here, come here. I suppose we're saying there's nothing in pre-season. We think about him when he played in pre-season last year. Oh, he was brilliant.
He's brilliant again this season.
Yeah, and then he had that season. So maybe what I just said about pre-seasons being the nonsense is ridiculous because he had a brilliant pre-season and then he really followed through.
Two seasons ago.
Oh, yeah.
When we were in the US, he was absolutely outstanding, and then we never saw him again.
He doesn't exist.
And the guy who's playing left back as well, Maguire, a little bit. He seems to have impressed too.
He seems to have done well. But, like, you know, he's not going to get in ahead of Moreno and Gomez. No. I think the great thing about Gomez is he's proven to be comfortable on either side. So, straight away, we're talking about what about fullback cover? So, if you have Cloyne and Moreno and Gomez, you've got three players that are going to you've got one who can cover both sides of the pitch.
We've been linked with that guy from PSG now as well. He's
Lucas Digne.
Yeah.
Right, well, listen, just to wrap up this one, is there any conclusions we can take from this pre-season that suggests
we're going to win the league?
We're going to win the league.
Jeez, I love where you're going with that.
Phil?
Fuck off. Trev?
It hasn't been easy for Dejan Lovren. You know,
as he said himself,
he shouldn't be scapegoated.
It's not Dejan Lovren, Liverpool, he said, you know. I can't defend all alone. Hasn't been easy for Dejan. That's
he
all.
Can't defend. He should have just stopped the fucking sentence. I can't defend.
That's all. Look, Andy, if you are trying to read something into these results, performed as anything, with these scattershot teams, you're not true.
You just can't. And I mean, even when we watch the first couple of games of the season, and we are to be,
you don't come out with the big words, do you? Hmm? When you don't have your t-shirts in front of you, do you?
What are you saying?
You don't come out with those big words. Like you're trying to search for big words. I'm looking at you trying to search for big words. When you wrote your article, there's a full of words and nobody understands.
Do you know what I noticed about you since... sorry, Andy. Sorry, fella, right? Do you know what I noticed about you? You're a belligerent bollocks. Seriously, the poor man's trying to get on with the job and you're actually shouting at me about how I'm not letting him get on with the job.
I'm just saying. And then you're interrupting him hosting constantly.
Well, I'm only trying to get a job here, Phil. You don't see me coming into your workplace and spitting on the burgers, do you?
Right, that's it.
You're the stripper shots.
What do you mean that's it? That's you it. Let him fucking host.
I've said all into your burger shop later.
I'm saying about what he thinks of this season because I done my bit already, didn't I? You were asking, you asked Phil.
Okay. Oh,
no, sorry, you're not going to be telling
you. No, well, I mean, it was kind of just laughed down a little bit. Yes. We can't take fuck off. I was just hoping someone going to win the league, so. Well, that's what I was going to say. I want my pod hosting debut to be a very positive pod.
Do you reckon there's even a slight chance of that?
Us winning the league.
You do?
I think. I mean, absolutely. I think we're going to fucking fuck this league up.
Hello, this is Ronnie Whelan here, and you're listening to Tripper Chats. Unbelievable stuff. You ask me anything about Liverpool FC, I will answer it immediately. I'm an encyclopedia. As you know, I played for Liverpool in the 1980s, won many trophies, played with the likes of Kenny Dalglish, Graham Souness. Oh, what a team we were. We were just unbelievable. Anyway, Tripper Chats.
Right. Couple of questions here, right? So Matthew Biggs wants to know, if Benteke is our last attacking signing, who takes free kicks, pens next season? I'll expand on this because we've had Gerrard and corners and everything fucking, so who's going to take everything next season? Phil?
Everything.
And we'll include who's going to be the voice captain.
Who's going to take the voice captain?
Who's going to take corners from the right? Who's going to take corners from the left? Free kicks out.
So just one person has to take all these?
No. Name them.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
Who's going to be the voice captain?
The voice captain is going to be... Well, I think it's going to be Milner.
Right. Is he going to take free kicks?
I think he's going to take free kicks in the 45 to 35 yard region.
Motherfucker.
Holy. So you're looking at someone to fucking hit
put
one
the
of
ball
those
in.
Big
put
dip
the ball
inside
in.
Footers into the top corner.
No, I'm talking about putting the ball into the box where you want it to be.
Benteke heading it in.
Yep.
Right.
Front post flick.
Getting in close to right.
Scoring positions.
Scoring positions, I think Firmino is going to be the main man to take them. Yep.
Firmino. And penalties.
Penes. I think it is going to be. No, I'd say there'll be a couple of scraps like we've seen last year over who's going to take the penalty.
Who's going to be the number one penalty taker? He's on the pitch.
I hope it's not Henderson because I don't think he's a penalty specialist. Right? So, for that reason.
Firmino take the pens for Hoppenheim, did he?
He didn't take the many pens, did he? I think it would be Benteke if he's on the pitch, yeah.
He's good at the many.
Yeah, like he took them for Villa. Yeah.
Get me into your fancy football. Trev, who's going to take everything?
Let's give Benteke the penalties. If there's any of that shit where there's the indecision or whatever, you're going to lose your life, Andy, so I can't have that for you, man. I'd be upset.
No.
Free kicks, who the fuck knows? Henderson was on them at the end of the season. Someone's got to come in and take over. I haven't seen Firmino play, so I can't tell you whether he's good enough. But I'd say Henderson might start.
Milner's got it
as well. It's the corners that interest me the most.
Because we're shit at them.
Because we are so fucking poxy at them. So I'd be really, really interested.
Milner's left peg again, I think.
Milner's left peg? What about, and Coutinho on the other side?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with that.
Any other different shouts, James, Neil?
No, absolutely not. No.
I think those are pretty much...
Voice captain.
You never asked me about voice
captain. I think Sacco will be voice captain.
You think he will?
No, I really don't. I
would love for Sacco to be vice captain, but I think this is Brendan Rodgers' team. There's no fucking way. Yeah. It'll be Milner of Skirtle.
Milner of Skirtle. Trey, who's going to be the voice captain before you start crying?
I'm just laughing at Neil. He does that to me every week. Fucker. It's Milner.
Milner?
Yeah.
Game ball.
Game ball.
A real day trippers question. Mark Shanley wants to know, would you rather be able to lift 5 stone telekinetically or 1 ton physically? This is a real question for you to answer, Phil.
I think I'd love to hear Trev's view, because Trev normally asks us these questions.
Trev took a breath in, actually.
Yeah, and he was thinking about it, considering it.
Trev, give us your answer to that then.
I've got a thing about having some telekinetic powers.
Yeah?
Yeah, because my brain's so fucked.
Right.
And I think it'd be brilliant. So... physical strength is cool, but no, imagine just being able to lift. What is it? How much can you?
5 stone.
And then 1 ton.
I suppose that's limited. No, what the fuck is 5 stone?
How big is it?
You see, you could kind of basically, what you're telling me, you could concentrate on firing small children across a room.
Or just small children.
Yeah.
You'd be deadly on midgets round.
I suppose you could kind of fire stuff at people.
You could move most stuff around your house.
All the stuff in your house is under 5 stone.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Would you? So, stuff be under 5 stone.
I just like it for the fucked up quality of having telekinesis, so I'm going with that.
Yeah.
I find it difficult to argue that point of view.
Yeah.
Because, like, forgetting the throne stuff, the practicality of it would be brilliant.
Yeah.
There's my dinner over there. Don't need to walk over. Bring it over to myself.
Bring it up.
I'll
order a pint. Don't need to wait. Just bring it to the table.
Hmm.
You'd be a fat cunt.
I know, but like, who cares? I can just move shit. I don't need to move. Everything moves to me. That I need to move to me. I'm with you on the telekinetic one.
And it's the whole freaking people out shit as well. Like, you know, moving stuff around. They're like, you know, what the fuck's going on?
When are you going to use your physical capacity to lift a ton?
It sounds to me that it's just going to be open to abuse.
Yeah.
The only, like, people are just going to use you.
Yeah.
Knock down to him. Do you know, if that'll save me getting a digger.
Do you know when
or a skip. Yeah, no more skips.
You'd be never left alone. Yeah. That fucker can lift a ton. Down to him.
The one thing that the ton would come in handy with, right, would be to solve my pet hate. You know when you go to a car park and some fucker's parked across 2 lines.
Oh yeah.
And there's no spaces left in the car park. Yeah. And there's that one fucker who's parked too wide across the line. You just go pick his car up, fuck it away, and park your own car.
That's nearly as bad as people parking in the disabled spots.
Yeah.
No, my solution for that is carry stickers. A big, huge sticker. You know, like the ones they put in the clampers, and it takes forever to get them off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except what you want is one nearly the size of a windscreen. Pull it there, peel the yoke off, and jam it onto the fucking windscreen. Just with a big picture of a wheelchair.
So that they can't.
They never do it again after that. A real boxy sticker, you know, like it doesn't all come off in one piece.
And you try to peel it and everything like that. Yeah.
And be on a Land Rover or BMW or something like that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Just right across the windscreen.
And pick it up and fuck it away as well, just to really annoy them.
Yeah, just that'll sort you.
Yeah, Land Rover wankers.
Anyway, James Collar wants to know, what's the most embarrassing thing a friend or family member's ever done to you, Neil?
A few embarrassing things happened to me over the years. Fucking hell. I don't know whether you'll find it funny, but anyway, I was
about 7, right? And fancy this, you know, when you have first girl that you think is good, all of a sudden you realise girls are good looking, right? So anyway, I was going to go over and try and impress her. So my mum was still dressing me at this stage. I remember this distinctly, right? So she was at the point, we were like away for the summer or some shit. So she was after buying me shorts and a t-shirt, but the t-shirt was like a string vest with sleeves in it. And I had these little brass tassels on it.
Come on!
It's the weirdest thing, right? So anyway, so I put them on and... I was so embarrassed, you know. I was after telling this girl I'm going to go over to her, so I headed over to my string vest with the tassels on it, right? But So when I was on the way over to it, I got my nipple got stung by a bee because it was sticking through the string fence. Right? And I was after telling I was going to go over, and I didn't want to miss it. So I cannot get over to her. I had one massive nipple sticking through the string fence. Right? It was like fucking that. I know you can't see that. It's like a legged one tip.
Anyway, yeah,
that a big bugler sticking out of the car.
But
yeah, that was so embarrassing. And after that, I didn't speak to another girl. I was 26.
Trev, you must have had some embarrassing moments.
I've never worn nipple tassels, so you can fuck off.
When you're seven.
Do 100 people get embarrassed? I never noticed.
No, it's a well-known fact that country people are actually impervious.
They wouldn't be walking around Crow Park and all that. They've no shame. No.
Yeah.
If you walk around with
sandwiches and
twine. Sandwiches.
If you walk around with twine holding up your trousers, there's not a hope in the world.
I actually have twine holding up my trousers.
There you go. Bit of white twine, yeah.
Fair enough. You've never had anything embarrassing happen to you?
No, I said, well, I'm impervious to embarrassment because I'm from the country.
What about somebody doing something that embarrassed you?
You try every week and you fuck it up.
Sweets wants to know, in honour of the sighting of the replica Magnum PI helicopter flying overhead, what's the greatest TV show vehicle?
That is a great question.
Any era, and I think that's brilliant. A very easy question.
I'm all over that as well.
You reckon it's easy?
Yeah, I think it is too.
Start it off, kid.
Airwolf.
Yes, I agree with 100%.
I would disagree with that.
There is no other answer.
I prefer Blue Thunder to Airwolf.
Oh, fuck off.
Get in the
house.
Get in the
house. I'm sticking to my guns here.
Blue Thunder was the
ball. Hang on a second.
Blue Thunder was dead.
Airwolf would batter Blue Thunder.
No way.
Let's just roll it back a bit, because we're all just leaping in on a deadly bit of technology, right? We're talking about the greatest fucking...
Vehicle.
So it can be iconic. So like the A-Team van, you've just completely fucking dismissed the A-Team van, which is one of the most iconic vehicles of all time.
Forget it.
And had like fucking rooms and everything in it. It was a bit tired to see. And then you've got...
That's actually...
Right? Yeah. And then the A-Team van in the sky.
So you're saying to me...
Airwolf is Knight Rider
in the sky. No, it's not. It's not fucking Knight Rider. It's not Knight Rider in the sky. How dare you say it was Knight Rider in the sky? Knight Rider talked and it could do stuff and go, and it's Airwolf couldn't talk.
Yeah, but you know, had to have the man in the back.
Ernest Borgnine was never out of that fucking helicopter. He died in that helicopter.
Knight Rider was a fella. Of course he talked. Kit was the car.
Knight Rider.
Yeah, Kit.
We're talking Knight Rider is the iconic car.
I'd go for car.
Car, yeah. Because it had a tash as well.
I'd go for car. It was a fucking truck.
Car wasn't a truck.
Can't get in the way of that.
Car wasn't a truck.
What was the thing your man Gareth used to drive?
Car. He was the prototype.
Goliath was the truck. I go with Goliath.
I don't know what they're talking about.
That's 70s or
60s. I think Blue Thunder is what Airwolf wanted to be.
Streethawk, there's not a lot of love
Streethawk.
For
Streethawk.
Streethawk. Yeah.
He had a big gun on the front of it. He used to point around.
Hang on a second.
And it made that noise.
Airwolf had a laser fucking missile.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
Airwolf had a laser missile.
And it looked...
Kit had a fucking turbo boost button that he could jump over anything.
He could talk.
So a car that can jump is better than a helicopter that can fly and do loop the loop.
Yes, yeah. Oh. How's a helicopter going to go in a tunnel?
Straight through.
Just fly through. It can't go straight
Airwolf
through a tunnel.
Was always going through tunnels and volcanoes.
It's always going through volcanoes.
And volcanoes.
Wasn't it fucking rats? You know fucking Kit was better
Street
than me.
Streethawk. The volcano thing, because that's where the base was, in an extinct volcano.
So
just talking about that, I was only thinking about this earlier on. Anyone remember Manimal?
Yeah.
You just a hand.
Yeah.
Just a hand with loads of hair on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
into the different type of animals.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Well, unless you put a saddle on him, he wasn't a vehicle, so you can't really.
No, I'm just saying.
If Manimal had a torn into Knight Rider, that would have been.
That would have been a combo.
That would have been a program.
Yeah. That's a
but Knight Rider wins hands down. Hard luck, mate. You can have Airwolf all you want, but fucking Kit is fucking. Is just what wrong for this home?
Yeah. I'm going for that.
You think about it. It's a car that
turbo boost, Andy. Turbo boost. Fuck me.
And it has the red bit that went across the front.
Over and back.
And that
red
made the sound.
Did you watch Airwolf? Yeah. I'm getting the impression you didn't watch Airwolf here.
I did watch fucking Airwolf. I loved Airwolf.
There's
no kid.
Springfellow Hawk was cooler than Michael Knight.
He wasn't his rat.
Suggest anything otherwise.
What?
It's ridiculous to suggest that.
Andy's the host.
Carla Donovan wants to know, if you were an alcoholic drink, which one would you be and why? Dave no, doesn't want to answer that.
I don't want to answer that.
I'd be a spritzer.
And why?
I don't know. Because I just wanted to say spritzer.
Spritzer. James, spritzer. What alcoholic drink would you be and why?
I think
he's
an asshole anyway. Answer that question.
It's like, no way of answering that without sounding like a penis.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's a horrible
question.
It's a
awful question.
Who asked it?
Carl.
I reckon Trev has a pair of balls to answer that.
I reckon Trev has a range of drinks that he considers himself.
If you do so much
against.
Reading at a bar,
yeah,
you
definitely
be saying
yourself,
drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I point? At the bar?
Here, will you let me
bar.
Answer?
He reads.
He's trying to host and trying to answer. I'm trying to be a guest here. Oh, will you ever fuck off with that?
He does.
I've never actually said that. You know this.
He went,
you
okay.
No,
he
I
does.
Didn't.
You have.
And he has a study at home.
I do have
he
a study.
He has a study at home.
I do have a study which clearly makes me a wanker.
Which is impressive.
Right, Trent.
Because it's only a two-bed hut made of shite and straw.
You want me to commit to this question?
Please.
Because no one else will.
Yeah.
Okay, I will. I'm clearly some kind of pint because I'm a stocky prick.
Oh yeah!
All right, there you go.
Bill,
there you go.
That's you, Paul Carlin. Bill,
it has to be a really strong alcoholic drink that you get drunk after one drink.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that'd
yeah.
be me. Yeah? Yeah. So
you know what you are, Dolly Mixture.
Yeah.
When you are fucking,
he's
15,
a fat frog.
You raided your folks' drinks cabinet.
Yeah.
And you mixed all
of
sorts of fucking mad shit.
Oh, is that
in,
Dolly
like,
Mixture? Is that what
yeah.
you call it?
Yeah. Dolly Mixture.
Yeah. And so then you fill all the bottles up with water. So as they don't know you're robbing their drink. Yeah.
Oh, they knew though, didn't they? Didn't they know? They did.
They obviously did because when they started drinking the fucking vodka and there was just water in the fucking vodka.
There was more
the worst, bit was when you started filling the water down vodka back up and you ended up with just water. Like, well, I'm not getting drunk
you're
in this anymore.
It's taking me ages to get a buzz off tonight, love.
And you were in the corner off your face on vodka.
After a drink.
Nolly wants to know which tripper you would send into space.
Right, the obvious one is your
Phil.
Man.
Yeah. He's obsessed with it.
So we can't send him. We're not sending him.
Not without Kalba.
We're not sending him because he would want to go and there's a tripper going to space. He'd be fucking
no way,
dying.
Yeah, there's no way he's going.
And it's not Carl either because Carl's a space wanker. And you're an airplane wanker, so it can't be you.
Really?
And I'm a space, I'm a moon landings conspiracy theory wanker, so it can't be me. I say we put Paul in space.
I say we put Damo in space.
Oh, yes. Damo
in
space.
Damo in space.
Actually, Damo's always the right answer to every question.
He wouldn't get a helmet to fit his head.
Actually, if Damo was in space and he just had Facebook.
Imagine Damo's Facebook space post.
He could answer any topic. Any subject, sort out any of the world's problems from space.
From space,
he could be our space consultant. At the end of the news every day, we're just going to go across our space consultant. There you go, to give his opinion on what everything that's been on the news.
And he belligerently hates space as well. So, like, he'd hate being up there. He'd be so happy because he'd be constantly hating where he is.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be seeing all these estates on the moon where there's injustice going on. Fucking magic.
I think I asked you this before, and you were the only person that said, yeah, if you were offered the opportunity to go into space but never come back, but like you could go so far into space. Like,
just keep going.
Just keep going and going and going and going to any place, any fucking part of the most interesting part of space, and like give up your whole life, family gone.
Yep.
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Do you die?
Well, you'd never
do you
get,
have a full
you
life
can't, you can't
doing it.
Back.
Yeah, but you have a full life exploring.
You can go out there. You can go, you can be there as long as you want.
Oh, you get all into all that crap. My life is only 2 minutes, and now it's. Well,
it'd be great to be able to answer. You know, is there anyone else out there that isn't Damo? Obviously,
yeah. Then
you
come.
Would you be that to know, like, you give up everything?
Well,
give up the day trippers. You give up. Go into space and answer all them questions.
Let's start up the space trippers podcast.
On your own, just laughing randomly.
Yeah. Eventually that signal will go to someone. But it'd be great.
You can't tell anyone. It's bullshit.
You get that. You actually become God.
You don't really, fella.
You do.
Okay.
Yeah. Joshua Stevenson wants to know, if you could domesticate one wild animal as a pet, which one would it be?
Mm. Well, the wanker rapper shout is a tiger, because that's Tony Montana in Scarface did that. But that's a wanker
tiger.
Rapper shout. Tiger, yeah, but I'm not doing that. I'd want a
pet board on a lid.
A what?
Would you really want to fuck, like, I mean,
who wants
dogs are fine, like, as they are.
Because they're the right size. Yeah. There's a whole sort of size.
There's a reason why a dog is a pet.
Yeah.
You know.
Dogs are sound.
They are.
Dogs are sound.
You're domesticating a wild animal, so
yeah. And it's not wild anymore, by the way, if it's domesticated.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, you can, what cool wild animal would you like to domesticate? Like obviously, you'd say a bear, right? But then, could you imagine the space a bear take? Imagine coming in like the fuckers on the couch again. Like, you just you'd have no room in your gaff. The bear'd be everywhere.
It'd be something cool or something cute, like a fucking koala, and call around to call him every time. Every time he's around.
Do you know, actually,
just to freak him out.
You know, the way monkeys are really clever.
So I believe, Andy. Yeah.
They've discovered that crows are equally as intelligent as the monkey.
How did they discover that, fella?
They've done a study.
Have they've talked to the crows.
They've dissected their brain and they discovered that a crow is one of the only birds that has any forward thinking, plans ahead. Mm. And there's all sorts of research done. They've something similar to our brains, how we plan, the portion of it, of our brain that we use to think about the future and think it, and plan things. Crows, it's very active within a crow.
Wow. So you have a lot of time in your hands.
And that's assuming, though, that that part of the brain is doing the same thing in the crow.
Well, no, like, because the way a crow behaves in the world suggests the same.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just suggest them.
So, if you had
unless you ask it, like,
if you had a crow,
if you domesticated,
are you thinking the same thing? I'm thinking,
a big fucking crow, right?
You don't big crow on your shoulder,
like that talks. No, obviously.
It talks.
Yeah,
so it's a talking crow now.
A talking crow.
Andy,
it'd be fucking very useful.
Yeah, but what would you be getting out of them? Like,
well, you can fly and stuff.
You could see shit,
so
you
go and sort, like, yeah, do messages and whatever.
Do messages.
Fly off. Actually, they've check that out, me, you know.
They've got seagulls on
oh, fuck seagulls.
In Drogheda, where I work, and they're like small horses. You could put a saddle on the fucker, and never ending story across the river. Yeah, fucking horses.
Yeah.
I think, I'm going to go with a seagull.
Did you know?
You want to domesticize
the
seagull.
Yeah.
What was it? Some senator the other day was saying they're...
rats are robbing the ice cream.
Well, they are, yeah. But they're a threat to society or something like that. Isn't it?
Thanks, as always, to our friends at astropark.ie. Check them out. For all your 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and 11 side football, depending how small you are. astropark.ie for all your... plastic grass football needs. Your day trippers tonight were James O'Regan, Neil Gray, Phil Casey, Trevor Downey, and myself, Andy Young. You stay safe out there.
We haven't done Lady Robin ice cream enough.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
Quality, there
Fuck's
you go.
Sake. Do you know how you sort a seagull out?
How do you sort a seagull out?
Give it a dig.
Feed it a salt in him.
Oh, what happens?
Did you never hear that one before?
No.
No.
Well, there was some kids acting the maggot. I wouldn't condone any of this.
After saying, you know how to sort the seagull out, feed it a salt in him. I wouldn't condone this.
Okay,
though.
So let's say the nastiest seagull that you know.
Yeah, real asshole
there.
Seagull. Yeah.
Down Dun Laoghaire, there's loads of seagulls, right?
Yeah,
and one of the worst bastard comes over. Gives your kid a bit of hassle, robs his eye, screwball, and pisses off, and you have a kid standing there crying, and you could do something to sort them out.
Yeah.
Get your kid to hold an ice cream with a sulfidine on top of it.
What if the kid eats the sulfidine?
He's dead.
The kid's in.
Him and the seagull.
Kid's in on the plan.
Oh, he's in.
Kid's in on it, yeah.
They explode.
Explode.
They explode.
What? This is deadly.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone could ever, we could ever figure it out if that's true or not, unless we go and capture a seagull.
The
right
crow
now.
Told us
it's not going to. It's not going to be. It's not going to be kind to
the
any.
The crow was planning this for weeks.
Forward planning.
He went down the shop last night.
It's not
going
to be kind to any fucking animals or bird's stomach anyway. But apparently, the seagull's stomach is a highly pressurized stomach because of its diet, and it will hold the sulfidine, you know, the way it fizzes and expands for so long to the point that when it does go, bang. The seagull fucking blows up.
No more ice cream for you, motherfucker.
And like, with little or no warning. Yeah. So the seagull's fucking off thinking he's a great chap, another ice cream down.
With little or no warning, then the seagull go, it's not fucking
fair,
right?
Yeah. You only get that kind of stuff on this programme, lads.
Yeah.
I'm going out to break tomorrow.
That's been educational.
That's
Teddy's ice cream covered in fucking zombadins.
Take that, you spricks.
And a crow on his shoulder breaking his balaclava on a lead.
And music is great this summer, to be honest with you.
I could ask you just as a kind of a general, you know, we've seen Ings scoring a couple of goals. And
he's only scored one.
Well, he scored a hat-trick today.
He scored a hat-trick today, for fuck's sake.
But
you can't call 3 and in training a fucking hat-trick.
Hat-trick. Miller scored a couple of goals.
Yeah, Miller
scored a couple. So is your man.
Who?
Adam.
Chariot?
Yeah, I like big butts.
For fuck's
sake. Oh my God.
I've kind of turned around on him a bit. He was the most awful.
Well, see, you haven't been watching the matches.
What? The preseason.
If you were watching the matches, you'd want to take a fucking fire stick and set him on fire.
Really?
I think you just have to I think it's just, listen, this fella's just mental.
He's just got a shit sense of humour, and you've got to
take it with a pinch of salt.
He's got a terrible sense.
He was calling like someone running down the flank the Valley of Death. And
yes. You know a fella who's got a bad sense of humour when they use not jokes, like blah 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 not. That's the sign either of a lad who's got a shit sense of humour or a wanker, or possibly both. Not wanker.
Not.
That's, we could actually do a Mark Lawrence section every week. Like,
I think we're doing it. I think we're doing it.
The Laro section.
If I know that lad, he's
this
recording.
Week. Yeah. This week on Laro.
Yeah, I mean,
Laro watch. Yeah, I'm fucking enough. I'm up for it. Like,